Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 20th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. Happy holidays to those of you who observe this, holiday, kind of. I am not, but doesn't mean that I didn't at one point. We'll leave it at that. I am here to review the TNA Impact Wrestling show that aired on April 19, 2016. The show was taped in Orlando, Florida, Universal Studios, and it featured one hell of a main event. Now, this isn't going to be, I guess it just depends what you're looking for, of course. If you are somebody that is looking for great in-ring technical match, well, this wasn't it, but it was one hell of an I Quit match, and I get down on I Quit matches because so many of them are laid out in a way where it's just like the referee is sticking the mic in the face of one of the guys repeatedly, and it's like no one's really buying this, but it's just kind of, it just gets a little overdone. This was just a brotherly war. I mean, the great thing about the main event between Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy is that you just believe that there's like tension between these two. You know, there's just this hatred between, I guess, more than tension. You just get caught up in the match. It was a lot of fun. It was really well done. It did feature Jeff Hardy taking one insane bump that they teased last week by showing us footage of him jumping from the top of a stairway. They didn't show us where he landed. They didn't show us whether he made contact with Matt or anything like that, but it was a nice teaser for things to come in the I Quit match. And the match was, again, I just think it's something that you should go out of your way to see. Impact now being replayed on Saturday mornings at 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern, and I recommend it for that match in particular. Just go out of your way to even if you don't care about the rest of the show, I think you would. Chances are, if you are into, well, Jeff Hardy style matches or something like that, and just to enjoy really just strong, a strong brawl, strong believable brawl, this is for you. I thought it was great. But let's work our way through the entire show. We had Josh Matthews and the Pope D'Angelo De Niro on commentary. They hyped that I Quit match. Jeremy Borash was the ring announcer. We went to Gail Kim facing Velvet Sky, Madison Rayne, Marty Bell, Rebel, Maria Kanellis Bennett, and Jade. No, the Knockouts title was not on the line. Apparently it's more prestigious than that. It's the Knockouts leadership position. I don't get it either. They set this up. Basically, Maria Kanellis Bennett, I guess we'll just call her Maria to make my life easier. She kind of started this. I mean, TNA has done this before. I think they put Karen Angle or Jarrett, I don't remember what she was at the time, in charge of the Knockouts at one point. And I think Brooke Hogan did this at one point. I don't know why they feel the Knockouts need a leader. But it's not something where, at first it was just like, okay, her character is like on this egomaniacal trip, and surely TNA management's going to be like, you're not getting your way. No, they had, don't call me Billy, William Corgan come out last week and basically make this match. I mean, they've kind of mocked the idea of Maria's power trip, but at the same time, TNA's management, if you will, because that's the role that Corgan plays on television as a member of TNA management, they signed off on this. It doesn't make any sense. It brings back some awful memories from TNA's past, just as far as like nonsensical booking decisions go. But it was won by Maria. I suspected this was something that they wanted to put her in this position. She teases wrestling and then doesn't wrestle, and that was kind of the case here. And so I don't think she is in to be a regular wrestler, and so they wanted to come up with a role for her beyond just being with her husband, Mike Bennett. And I'm cool with it because Maria's talented, so I understand the need to want to do more with her. I just don't know that the Knockouts need a leader, and I hated the logic of, well, yeah, you and Gail Kim are feuding, and you're causing issues by booking number one contenders matches on your own. So ultimately, we're going to give you exactly what you're looking for, Maria, a chance to become the leader of the division, and she did. She ducked out immediately, and then it was a ladder match. They had a contract up hanging from the rafters, and late in the match, it was Velvet Sky going to make a play for it when Maria grabbed a kendo stick that had been used earlier by Decay when they attacked Gail Kim, and she ended up striking Velvet with it and then climbing the ladder and taking the contract down. And so Maria ends up becoming the new leader of the Knockouts division. I kind of wish they just would have made this a little more believable when she came in. Maybe announce that, you know, you can come up with some weird logic, but for some reason, they put her in charge of this division. She's in a leadership role, but I think they wanted to have her debut with Mike Bennett and be part of that act. It's clunky. I'm willing to just kind of say, let's forget all of this, and now you have her slotted the way you want to. But it was not pretty getting there. The whole thing with Gail Kim and Decay was that they actually carried her backstage. Rosemary came out and hit her with a kendo stick when Gail was chasing Maria up the stage. And then they carried her to the back, and that continued to play out. Mike Bennett did run out at the end to celebrate with his wife after she won the match. We got some highlights of Lashley attacking Drew Galloway following last week's main event, and then we went backstage where Drew Galloway was still selling this. You would have thought that it just occurred, and maybe it had, because TNA does marathon tapings. But so I don't know if that's why he was laying it on as thick as he was, if it was all taped the same day, and they didn't want the live crowd to be going, what the hell, why is he fine now? But he was calling for the cameraman, and then he cut a promo about how he was going to the ring to call out Lashley. They went to a commercial, and they came back. Maria told Mike Bennett she has all the power. Next week, things will start to change in the Knockouts division. Good, because the Knockouts division has been pretty disappointing lately. Rosemary was shown carrying Gail Kim into the rafters while Abyss and Crazy Steve followed. And Matthews then started expressing concern and saying someone should go try to help Gail Kim. Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe the people in the production crew, or, you know, the camera guy who's following them around. More on that later. Galloway does come to the ring, and he has his ribs taped up, and he was kneeling, and I mean, really selling it. This is the part. It wasn't so much the backstage one as much as it was here. Like, did they shoot this on the same day? Because, I mean, the way he's carrying it on, you would have thought this guy was just attacked or something. It seemed, you know, if you're looking at it in television time, like a week later, he's still feeling this much pain. He did say that TNA officials wouldn't clear him to wrestle, but they didn't say anything about him fighting, and that came into play too. He stood up and said, I'm still standing, get out here and finish the job. So fine promo from Galloway, brief and effective. Rockstar Spud comes out instead. I think he entered to a Smashing Pumpkins song. It didn't play long, and I couldn't quite make it out, but it sure sounded like one of the familiar Smashing Pumpkins tunes, which makes sense, because, well, they're using a Marilyn Manson song and a Hole song, and of course, Billy Corgan works for them, so why wouldn't they incorporate a Smashing Pumpkins song in as someone's entrance theme? Spud talked about how he could beat Galloway, who was game. He was ready. He was like, basically, bring it on. But Spud said he wasn't there to fight. He put everyone on notice that this was the last time that fans would see Jeff Hardy because of what Matt would do to him. And then Galloway said that if Lashley isn't coming out, he's going to face someone. Spud started running around and said, you were warned, Drew. And he just was laughing maniacally. Out comes Tyrus. And Tyrus says that reminded everyone that he has a title match whenever he wants due to his Bound for Gold win. Well, apparently it doesn't matter when. It's not any time, because Galloway is injured and was ruled out. So he takes a mic and he points out that Galloway's injury, or just kind of mocked it, actually, and then said that he waited in the wings for a shot and it paid off. And he said Galloway should be worried that he can cash in his title shot whenever he wants. And Tyrus said Galloway is hiding behind a doctor's note and asked if that makes him a fighting champion. At this point, Galloway said he's cleared next week and he will kick Tyrus's ass. And Tyrus asked if he has Galloway's word as a man that he would defend his title against him next week. Galloway said he had his match, and then Tyrus thanked him and said he is a man. Tyrus was about to leave when Galloway stopped him and recalled saying that he was looking for a fight. He called Spud an Oompa Loompa. Apparently you don't do that, because Spud and Tyrus, who were apparently willing to leave, which is strange, then turned and attacked Galloway. This was kind of like old school King Kong Bundy destroying Hulk Hogan type of an attack, because you had Galloway being held by Spud as Tyrus splashed him. Spud placed a chair over Galloway, and then Tyrus performed a Vader bomb. It was fine. You know, I mean, I don't think the live crowd is necessarily buying into Tyrus, though. That's the problem. No one really sees him as a threat to take that title, and so they're pretty quiet. It really is a shame that TNA didn't do a better job of protecting him. They just kind of made him the setup man at times for EC3, and I just felt like when he hit, you know, he shouldn't do much, but when he does, it should always be impactful, and for the love of God, protect this guy. You know, make him Big Bubba Rogers, but they didn't do it, and I think they're paying a little bit for it now. I like the attack. I like the logic that, all right, he's softened up heading into next week. He's so beat up this week. Well, they beat him up even more. But why were Tyrus and Spud just content leaving until Galloway called them back? I was like, okay, once Tyrus was asking, you promised me I have my match next week, wouldn't that have been the spot to attack him? Where it's like, oh, Tyrus is one step ahead, but he wasn't. So that was the only criticism there. Backstage, Rebby Hardy worked the Hardy brand cam inside Matt's locker room, And she had was holding Maxwell, their child, and she spoke briefly about Jeff Hardy. And then Matt cut a promo about protecting his legacy, their brand, and his family. Matt said Jeff will quit existing. I didn't like the Hardy cam. There was a place to use this style of camera at a different point in the show. This wasn't it. I don't know. It looked kind of wonky. I don't know. I mean, they have cameras all over the place, is the idea that they try to convey, and there's cameramen floating around. So I don't know why they felt the need to use kind of a low-budget camera here, but they did. The other thing that stood out about the previous segment is Rockstar Spud, and it's in a bad way. Spud is one of the best talkers around, and he's proven that he can be effective as a babyface, and he can be effective as a heel. Now he's kind of entering that Eric Young maniacal range. That seemed to be what he was going for. And it's Spud. I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. If anyone can pull it off, he can. He's earned that benefit of the doubt because he is just so damn good on the mic. But it felt a little too Young-like, with Young still appearing on the show at this point. And also, maybe they're trying to do more with him so he doesn't come off like just such a playing second fiddle to Matt Hardy, and maybe even third now that, you know, Tyrus looks like they're doing more with him. I don't like seeing Spud wasted, but I don't know that I need to see maniacal Spud. I give them credit for always, you know, either TNA creative or Spud for continuously shaking things up with the character. You know, he never stays with one thing for too long. I kind of wish there's times where I wish he would stay with things a little bit longer, because, you know, it's like, I get it. You want to kind of move on before things get old, but you also don't want to just be the guy that is always changing. And so you never really, you kind of run the character into the ground when there's too many changes. And I kind of fear that's what's happening with him. But this was the first week I recall him really taking this maniacal approach and being, you know, speaking really quickly and just laughing maniacally and things like that. So we'll see. Maybe it'll win me over, as pretty much everything else the guy has done. Rosemary was shown speaking to the knocked out Gail Kim up in like the rafter area, I guess, and saying that Napoleon once said we're either kings or pawns, and she says now that Kim is with them, they are going to get what they want. And she said Kim is their pawn to get what they want. Then we ended up with the second match, which was Trevor Lee facing Eddie Edwards and DJZ for the X Division title in a triple threat. No ring introductions for this. And maybe the broadcasting, I missed like the first 30 seconds to a minute of the show. It's possible they hyped it off the top and I did miss it, so I want to be fair about that. But I don't know how you, if you want the X Division title to mean something, then I think you need to at least take the time to make it seem like a big deal. And ring introductions are part of that. It sends a really bad message when, let's just cut to the ring for the X Division title match. And if they did hype it at the beginning of the show, they didn't do anything after that. So either it had no hype, or just very minimal hype at the beginning of the show, because I'm guessing even if they did address it right at the top, it was playing second fiddle, understandably, to the I Quit match and maybe some other things on the show. So that part of it was disappointing. The match itself was Trevor Lee beating Edwards and DJZ in 420 to retain the X title. I will say, I thought DJZ was added to this so that he could be the fall guy, that he would lose and then they would get to Edwards and Lee down the road. But it was Edwards being pinned, and it was because Andrew Everett, an independent wrestler who came up with Trevor Lee, came out and shoved Eddie off the top rope and into a high knee from Lee, who then pinned Edwards. So DJZ didn't really factor in. I'm still not a big fan at all of the DJZ character. It was explained to me, well, he's a real DJ outside the ring. Well, that's great, but doesn't mean he needs to be a DJ in wrestling. Can you think of any acts where it was, I mean, not that there have been no, like all of them have been a failure, but I mean, because you can go back to the 80s and find some really wonky gimmicks, but a guy who's kind of portrayed as a wrestler who doubles as something else, T.L. Hopper comes to mind. I mean, there's better examples than that, more successful ones, but it just, like, the wrestling DJ. It's great that he does it in his, you know, what he does in his spare time is his deal, and I know he's very excited about it when I interviewed him, but it's so bad. I don't, like, he's the wrestling DJ. Great, but how about you just be the wrestler? Z-Mion was really good. DJZ, not so much. I can't take him seriously, and I wouldn't harp on this so much if I didn't think the guy had talent and that there was something to do with him. The other thing I need to piss, moan, whine, and complain about is the way they're utilizing Trevor Lee right now. Shane Helms does the talking. I don't think they're comfortable having Trevor Lee on the mic for whatever reason. And they're trying to, as we found out after this, establish the Helms dynasty, I think is what they were calling it. Something we'll get to in a little bit. But I think that Lee, I mean, we saw him lose a non-title match to DJZ. And now in this, he needed help. I want Trevor Lee just to be portrayed as a kick-ass wrestler, because that's what he is. They're a little too soft with him. He just kind of comes off like a henchman for Helms, and I don't think that's how it should be. I think Trevor Lee is a great talent. TNA is fortunate to get him, one of the few guys that, you know, one of the hot prospects in the indie scene that didn't ultimately end up with NXT, and TNA needs to do a better job with him. We'll let this play out too. Maybe the thought is, well, we need to establish Helms and this dynasty thing, then we'll worry about Lee. I don't like it. I just think that you can do both. You can make Lee out to be a badass rather than this guy that just loses to DJZ in a non-title match. They're not making him out to be the sensational wrestler, and so that needs to improve in a hurry. I like the addition of Everett. He performed. I don't know that a heel should be performing the it's more than a 450. I don't know how many rotations he got on that thing, but he did a splash onto Edwards after the match, and it was like, oh my God. And it's, again, one of those where, do you really want to have the heel performing an electrifying move like that? I don't know. But it was, and maybe he won't be a heel for long. We'll see, but it was definitely, if you watch the replay, make sure you keep an eye out for that, because it was very impressive. And I do like that Eddie Edwards was protected. You know, I like that it wasn't the obvious DJZ being pinned, but it was Edwards, and he was protected. And I think they can, as down as I was on just, well, we don't know what to do with Eddie, let's throw him in the X division. Well, now he has Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett to work with. This could be really fun. They could do some good things here while Davey Richards is sidelined. Backstage, Eric Young told the cameraman that he and Bram were headed to the ring, and he is going to change wrestling forever. And they went to a commercial, and then when they came back, that's when we got that Helms promo. He said, no one outsmarts him because he is a wrestling savant, and he said, the apex of agility, Andrew Everett, is with them, and the Helms dynasty runs the X division, and it will never be the same again. All right, he didn't say the again part. He just said again. You know, initially, I got to say, when Helms was paired with Lee, it's like, well, okay, I'm sure they know each other well, you know, being from the same area and all of that. And it was like, I get the pairing if they're not comfortable with Lee talking, but I didn't think Helms was adding much to it. Suddenly, you add the dynasty part to it, and it's something new for the X division. It's something that I don't recall seeing in TNA where there's a real faction. And hopefully, they'll add to it. I think it could be fun. I'm definitely open to the idea of the Helms dynasty. We ended up with Eric Young and Bram coming out for a promo. Young hates everyone in the building, including the fans and everyone in the back. And he said that the fans were looking at the King of Wrestling. And he held up his King of the Mountain title and said that's proof of his claim. And he said that everyone has tried and no one can beat him, which he's kind of forgetting that a lot of people have beaten him lately. But he said TNA officials can suck up to EC3, Jeff Hardy, and Drew Galloway. He said this is the last time people will ever see him. And the fans cheered this, and Young did pause to let them cheer. I think he got the reaction he was looking for. And he said he's taking his title and he's leaving. And he said that he and Bram quit. And he started to leave, but Bram didn't go with him. And Young called for Bram to come and join him and leave. But Bram said he wasn't going anywhere. Young circled Bram and then asked, what did you say? Bram said he's tired of being Young's lackey. And Young said that Bram could stay in TNA by himself and then called him a loser. Bram asked him where he was going. And he challenged Young to a title match, saying it would look better around the waist of a real man. And then Bram said that Silas doesn't have any balls, or have the balls, I guess. And Young kicked Bram in those same balls. So I guess he does have some balls, because he did sell it. It wasn't like a deal where he just stood there, I have no balls, this doesn't hurt, ha-ha, I have the last laugh. Young gave him a pile driver and asked, now what? Called him a loser. And Young said, he is the king, and all of you are not. And he started to leave, but then he decided to take a pair of scissors from a production member, and he returned to the ring and started chopping off Bram's beard. Almost like, some NHL teams will be doing very soon, as we near the end of the first round. There'll be a lot of beard trimming going on. Young said he's the only one who can have a beard in pro wrestling, and he even claimed that Bram grew his beard because of him, and he made it seem like he was the only guy to ever have a, well, he was the first guy, I guess. So, fun stuff from Eric Young here. It took me a long time to warm up to the maniacal Eric Young character just because I'd seen him in so many other things. And when he's not being positioned as like the world champion guy, but just like a notch below, a strong upper mid-card act, very good. And his promos are fun. They're intelligent, where if you're just kind of, they get under the skin of the fans, but if you're kind of watching on a different level, they make you laugh. And unfortunately, this, well, other than I assume working another match with Bram at the on the remaining shows from the last batch of tapings, that's probably it for Young. I mean, there's nothing saying they couldn't work out a deal, but given TNA's current financial situation, even if TNA made a great offer, and I'm Eric Young, I don't know if I'd take it because I don't know that they'd be able to make good on it just the way things have been going. Anyway, we ended up with a shot of Mike Bennett and Maria walking backstage, and they went to break. When they came back, Jeff Hardy cut a promo. He was applying his face paint and talking about how he and Matt are similar, yet at the same time complete opposites, and he said that he won't quit. You know, the one thing, considering how intense that main event was, the one step I felt that was kind of missing in the build, and we got some really good mic work from Matt Hardy, and Jeff is just so much more comfortable on the mic. I would say he's more laid back and relaxed in that role than he's ever been. But I felt like we needed that moment where Jeff said, "Enough is enough," you know. And it was kind of it happened without him saying it, but I still would have liked to have heard that promo from him. That, you know, hey, I never wanted this to happen. You're my brother, but you've gone too damn far. And because all it just, it's not like we haven't seen them exchange blows before, during the build to this match. But still, I kind of felt like just to reach that level of intensity that he showed in the main event would have been nice to have heard that. But Mike Bennett and Maria then stood in the ring for a promo, and Bennett told a fairy tale about Prince Ethan losing all of his power once a white knight arrived. Of course, he's talking about EC3 and himself, and he talked about how he stole EC3's power and took his kingdom, and EC3 comes out wearing a suit. Bennett, by the way, wearing like jeans and a t-shirt. Not really clicking with that whole miracle image that he's mentioned, and I don't know if it was like, well, we don't want two guys out there wearing suits, so maybe it was by design. And this was, by the way, the top of the second hour is where we're about to go to. Before we get there, let me just take a quick moment to tell you about ProWrestling.net membership. Hey, yesterday I gave you the full-length version of the Raw audio review. Today, you're hearing the full-length version of the TNA Impact Wrestling review. Now, you guys on the All Access side do hear these full-length audio reviews from time to time, as you are this week, obviously. But know that they are available week in, week out, exclusively for .NET members. If they are not here on the All Access side, don't think that we didn't do it. No, it's that the members are hearing them. The raw audio, this was a rare case of me recording on a Tuesday morning. Usually that is done Monday night. We also do audio reviews of all the major pay-per-view events, Ring of Honor, WWE, well, TNA when they used to have them, but NXT, of course, as well. And so full-length audio reviews of all the major television shows and pay-per-view events exclusively for the members, and the .NET Weekly audio show, bonus editions of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. You guys hear some of them here on the All Access side. You don't hear them all. If you enjoy Will and Jake, know that they are there. I mentioned the .NET Weekly. That show is our flagship show, and it often contains first-run news items that have not been reported elsewhere. It's available. Somebody asked me last week on Thursday, hey, did no .NET Weekly this week? Well, that show could be recorded anytime from Wednesday through Friday. It just depends on the week. And there was, as I informed the person, would be out on Friday because somebody had to have a root canal. God, that sucked. I feel better now. So the last week's show came out on Friday. This week, most likely tomorrow, could be Friday. But again, that's a flagship show, and I host with a variety of different co-hosts. We've had some special guests, including Jim Ross has joined me as a co-host of the .NET Weekly audio show in the past. Membership rates to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net start for $7.50 for 1 month. You can trim some money off of that monthly fee, though, if you sign up for our six-month or annual option. The annual option brings the price all the way down to about an average of $5.50 a month. All the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. Once you're there, you'll see the sign-up area. You'll find those three different pricing options, and you can be signed up almost instantaneously. It's a very simple to navigate sign-up process, and you can be in and out of there and enjoying all the perks of .NET membership once you do. If you have any questions ever, feel free to email me. Just spell out .NETJason@gmail.com, DOTNETJASON@gmail.com, or you can also hit me up on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net. Okay, with that out of the way, back to the show. Top of the second hour, EC3, Mike Bennett, and Maria in the ring. And they go back and forth a little bit. Bennett was boasting, well, actually, EC3 was talking about the similarities and differences, which is funny because we just kind of heard the same thing from Jeff Hardy. Just talking about the similarities and differences between the two, between he and Mike Bennett. And then he looked down and he said, but the difference is he doesn't skip leg day. And Bennett's a little bit with his facial expression. Didn't like that line. Here's why. If it's a negative, because honestly, I've never paid attention to Mike Bennett's legs before. But I guarantee you, the next time he's in the ring in wrestling gear, that's the first thing. I will remember this. And I think anyone who heard that isn't going to be able to help themselves. It's as silly as John Cena talking about Cesaro's nipples back in the day. Now, if it's there's nothing wrong with Mike Bennett's leg, maybe there's a reason I've never noticed, and it's just kind of a casual cheap shot, all right, fine. But if it really is a sore spot, like if this guy's got some bird legs going on, well, now you just pointed them out to a lot of people that probably weren't paying any attention to them before. So I guess we'll wait and see what Mike Bennett's skinny little bird legs, if he has them, actually look like next week. But yeah, that one jumped out at me. But I like the overall exchange between these guys. Bennett was saying he would never wrestle EC3 again because he beat him and now he's through with him. Of course, he beat him by DQ. And EC3 was quick to point out that, yeah, the record shows that he lost the match, but the video shows that he kicked Bennett's ass. And Bennett just keeps saying, hey, you can make all the excuses you want. It's pointless, though, because the outcome, if they wrestle, is always going to be the same. EC3 said Bennett had an opportunity to become a made man. He pointed out that he hasn't been pinned in over 30 months and mentioned opponents such as Sting, Kurt Angle, Bully Ray, and the Hardys. And he said that next week is sacrifice. Hey, who knew? He challenged Bennett to beat him in a no DQ match where there are no excuses. Well, Maria must have liked the sound of that because she whispered into the ear of Bennett, who then changed his tune and said that if ending the streak is what EC3 and the fans need to finally believe in the miracle, then his answer is, yes, I do. And EC3 said it's good that Bennett believes in himself because it's going to take a miracle to beat him. And EC3's music then played as they stared each other down to end the segment. So good stuff. Again, I know that whole line about the legs was a funny diss, but that would be the one negative about it. And hopefully next week, I mean, yes, I know I could go to YouTube and look at Bennett's legs, but that would feel awkward, so I'm not going to. But if it's not, if it is like, if all of a sudden everybody starts noticing that, yeah, Mike Bennett has these bad legs, I guess we have EC3 to thank for it. I just don't know that a quick diss is worth that if you're really pointing out a true weakness, but we'll see if it is. In an undisclosed area, somewhere up in the rafters, I guess, Gail Kim was tied to a wall, and Crazy Steve was acting like he was going to lick her face. Now, he never actually did. He just came close with his tongue. She was screaming. This was like a scene out of a horror movie. Rosemary got in Gail's face and said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over. I think she left out the part about expecting different results. So there it is. The pro wrestling's love of giving us a definition of insanity continues. I don't hear this anywhere else, but I hear it in every major company. They can't wait to tell us a definition of insanity in pro wrestling. Rosemary said they will let Gail Kim go once they get what they want, which is attention, chaos, and gold. Really over the top here, unsettling. If this were WWE and they're really pushing their product, you know, gearing it toward kids and families, I would say, too far. TNA, later time slot, you know, this by the time this aired, it was after 10 Eastern. It's not necessarily for me. I mean, it's the right act with Decay. If they want to be disturbing, it's the right act to do it with. I was okay with it at this point. It was a little bit further than I probably would have gone, but I think they wanted it to be jarring. We'll get to the payoff, though. That was kind of where they lost me a bit. Al Snow stood in the ring for a promo, and he said the fans can boo all they want. He's never seen a group of people like the wrestling fans in his life. They come up to him and tell him how much they hate the product, and then they go on internet forums and complain, but they watch it every single week. Have you seen TNA's numbers since the glory day? Anyway, he said they didn't always let just anyone in the wrestling business because they were protecting it from the fans, who he said are ruining wrestling today. How dare you, fans? Snow said he knows all of this because he's in the ring and the fans are out there, and he said he would never pay to see any of them in a pro wrestling ring. And then the fans in the impact zone started chanting, "We didn't pay to see you either because admission is free." All right, you know that's a BS chant because it would be really hard to chant something that long, but it's true. He said he was going to teach the fans and Mahabali Shera a lesson. Well, out comes Mahabali Shera. Someone needs to teach him some lessons, some serious pro wrestling lessons, because this guy is still very green. I will say, though, that Al Snow did a good enough job that the crowd was behind Shera, I think, as much as they could be. The finish of this was Al Snow wrapping a weapon around his fist, kind of like the old brass knuckles. It was, whatever it was heavily taped, and then he made sure the referee was distracted, and he punched Shera with it and got the win. So, I mean, Shera doesn't have any business being on TV, but the television partner, Sony 6, wants him there. Surely there's a better Indian wrestler available somewhere. I mean, there has to be. People have pointed to Jinder Mahal in WWE. Please reach out to him. Someone, anyone. But this should be okay once Grado gets back. You know, Grado and Al Snow, I think, can do something together. And so we'll see. I mean, Shera is just Shera. You know, and Al's doing a good job with his mic work. You know, I mean, he did last week. He cut the intense promo backstage that was strong. This week, I mean, kind of, I don't know, the whole internet fan thing or whatever they're going for, I just kind of roll my eyes at. But, you know, they got a little bit of heat with that crowd in attendance. And by the way, just so, you know, so I don't, you're picking on TNA with their numbers down. Well, have you looked at WWE Raw ratings from Monday? Sometimes people do go away, and they don't just continue to watch every single week. Backstage, Abyss held Gail Kim while Rosemary threatened to sacrifice her if they don't get what they want. We went to Eli Drake standing outside a production truck, and he said that dummies have to be taken care of. And he took the camera inside the truck and said he pays the production staff well to make him look good, or at least he will for next week. And he said that he would name all the dummies one by one. And he hyped his new segment called Fact of Life for next week. So I'm guessing that Eli is just picking up where Ken Anderson left off. Anderson was getting that talk show when he was last with the company. He had that one episode. I think was that what it was? Something like that. And then Anderson ended up leaving the company, flaking out, or, you know, depending on who was telling the story, TNA deciding, let's no longer do business with this man. So I'm guessing they want to have a talk show segment, and they figure Eli Drake is a good talker, and maybe he can hold up his end. We'll see. I mean, he is a good talker. He hasn't really connected with the crowd yet. I think if there's, it just feels like there's really no heat there. But maybe this will do it. We'll see how he does. Decay brings out Gail Kim, and Rosemary started talking about the world being a big chessboard and how the fans are pawns, and she called them puppets, and she said they severed the strings, or their strings, and they will cut Gail's too if they get what they want. And she said if they don't, maybe we'll just cut off your pretty little head. So yeah, this is not something you would hear on WWE television. Abyss took the mic and said no one can help Gail Kim now. He said the only people who could save her, yes, he actually said no one can, and then went to the only people who can, and those only people are Beer Money. And he called for James Storm and Bobby Roode to come out, and Beer Money did. And Abyss said made them stay at ringside by threatening Gail Kim, and he said that they want a title shot. Roode agreed, and then asked him to let Gail Kim go. They teased letting Gail go, but Rosemary grabbed her from behind after they turned her loose. And Abyss said, one more thing. They don't just want a regular match. They want a match with no rules or regulations. I'm like, oh, God, a Monster's Ball again? He asked if they will walk with them into the Valley of Shadows. And Roode said they would get whatever match they want if they let Gail go. And so Decay did just that. And then Rosemary said anyone can enter the Valley of Shadows, but only Decay will survive. So the first ever Valley of Shadows match is coming up. I'm guessing this is on next week's show, on that Sacrifice show. I didn't even know they were still doing the pay-per-view theme shows. I kind of forgotten about those. But and then it just kind of came up. It wasn't like they were building, you know, all month long, Sacrifice is coming. No, just kind of came up out of nowhere. Abyss is corny. I can't help it. You know, Rosemary does a great job. There's times when Abyss does okay, but this was not one of them. I didn't think he was very good, and just his responses. And Roode asked him a question at one point, and Abyss had to answer yes, and he tried to do it in that really over-the-top voice, and it just sounded really cheesy. So there's a cheesiness factor to Abyss that I think that brings down Decay a little bit, that I think could go away if they would just, like, not have him speak. And I know Steve doesn't already. I like that Rosemary did the bulk of the talking on this show, but once Abyss started talking, they lost me. And the idea that they did all this just to get a TNA tag title shot, there's like three non-champion teams in TNA right now. You have Bromans, the Wolves don't count because of Davey Richards being out injured. And then there's one other team other than Decay. I can't even think of who it is, but which says a lot. I guess Bram and Young, but Young's leaving. Not that they were acknowledging this at this point in the taping anyway. But I mean, they're so light on it's like, really? You had to kidnap someone just to get a title shot? And then, of course, you have to turn your brain off and say, well, wouldn't management just say, no, we're not rewarding you for kidnapping someone? Plus, I mean, I do want to point, I mentioned that the handheld camera thing earlier. This is where they needed it. They needed to have Decay using it, where one of them is filming ideally Abyss, so they didn't have to hear him or see him. As Rosemary is in the face of Gail Kim, because then you're not going, well, why didn't the cameraman step in? Shouldn't this man be concerned about Gail Kim? Shouldn't the production staff be like, hey, we know where they are because we know where our cameraman is? None of that. So this is where you use that type of a camera, and you say that Decay is like sending it to them somehow. I don't know how you want to explain it, but I think it would have been better. It would have come off better than it did. There wouldn't have been those obvious questions. It's main event time, and that main event was a damn good one. I lost track of the count of the, but it was 20 minutes in length at least. Matt Hardy fighting Jeff Hardy to a no contest in an I Quit match. Now, and I just seen this result on paper, and I'm like, oh, dear Lord. Really? No contest in an I Quit match? This is like bad TNA booking from years past, returning it. No, this was the finish made perfect sense. It was fine. Because Jeff, and I mean, I'm not going to do it justice. I'm not going to go through everything these guys did. I am just going to encourage you to check out that replay on Saturday to see this match because just a great, intense brawl. I mean, in some big Jeff Hardy high spots, of course. I can, some of those I'm like, oh boy, I don't know that I need to see this guy, especially when he talks about having a bum knee already, do some of the things that he was doing. The big spot, of course, was him going up top. I will tell you, they brawled into like the production area, and we had the broadcast team tell us that it's a place that we don't normally go. And Pope was just talking about how it's forbidden territory, and viewers don't see wrestlers go there. And my immediate thought was, so wait, anytime there's been two or more guys who've been completely out of control in the past, they were actually in somewhat control because they didn't go into the forbidden area. I know they're trying to make it seem like this is special and unique. I would have been a little smarter with the wording of that. But I get what they were trying to do. And they did use that to explain, hey, they're going to areas we don't even have good lighting. And so, apologizing for not having the best of lighting, which was fine. It added to it that at that point, I think they could have easily said that and left out all the part about how wrestlers normally don't go there and just said that, these guys or the forbidden area. That was the line that kind of got me, like, wrestlers are forbidden from going here. So all these outlaws that get caught up and have these big brawls, oh, we're not going to go to the forbidden area. But Matt and Jeff Hardy will. But so that part was clunky, but I didn't mind, like, the lighting was a little bit off because of the area they're in. Some of it might be too because I'm watching on DirecTV and we don't get the HD feed of Pop, boo. We don't get the on-demand for Pop, boo, because that means I can't watch Schitt's Creek and I really want to see it from the beginning. So get it together, DirecTV, damn it. Eugene Levy, he's the man. But anyhow, we back to the match. The finish of this, you had Jeff start to. Well, actually, let me back up just a little bit. They were fighting in the areas where they don't have the lights, and then Jeff caught Matt in a chokehold and yelled at him to quit. Matt was yelling no as best he could, and then Matthew's pointing out that it appeared that Matt had passed out from the choke, and the referee told Jeff that Matt was out. Jeff took the mic and said, "It's not over until he says I quit." And again, this is where I kind of wish he had that one missing promo where Jeff really explained that, all right, hey, I tried to be the nice brother, the good brother. You've taken it too far, and I've had enough, and we're going to war. And they're going to put it in better wording than I am, but you know what I mean? Just kind of the missing promo, because it felt a little bit just out of Jeff Hardy's character that things had escalated to this point. That even though Matt the Matt character completely deserves it, it still felt a little bit astray for Jeff. Anyway, Jeff climbs a ladder, and then he stops, and he points to the top of a stairway. And it's pretty far up there, and Jeff hobbles his way up the stair. I'm hoping he's selling. I'm hoping it's not. He said he has a torn PCL that he's working on still, that they talked about doing surgery on, but he has a brace and all that. But he... because he was like using one leg and kind of holding on to the handles or the whatever you call those on stairs, the hand area, I can't think of the damn name, railing, yeah, that's it, holding on to that to kind of prop himself up there and get to the top of this. He gets up there. Now there's a little platform. It's like, well, I don't know why they'd have a little platform there, but suspend your disbelief, not a big deal. I'd rather see them build a little platform to Jeff, for Jeff to stand on, than go, no, Jeff, they would look fake, so jump off the railing itself and then watch Jeff crash and burn. But anyway, he makes the sign of the cross, and then he makes his own little hearty sign, I guess you'd call it, and then he performs a swanton off the top of the stairs, all the way down onto Matt, who was on a table, and Matt crashes through the table. Jeff immediately starts clutching his groin area, so I don't think he was selling. He may have hurt something there. Hopefully it was minor. Seemed to be, because it didn't last long. But Pope was talking about how he'd never seen anything like that in his 14 years. I think he said 14, referring to his wrestling career. Believe me, if I thought he was saying 14 years, if I was like confused on the number, and it was like, wow, is Pope 14 years old? Unless he's a leap year baby. And even then, no, I wouldn't have bought the 14 years. So I assume that's what he was referring to, is just the length of his wrestling run. And then referees and other crew members ran out to check on both men. They showed fans who were expressing just shock and concern. They had some a couple of great shots of women just with their hands over their mouth and looking extremely concerned. Jeff was up first. Matt stayed down. Medics put a brace around Matt's neck, then placed him onto a board. And then Rebby was out kind of barking orders at the medics, but not going so over the top with it that it wasn't believable. They eventually placed Matt onto a gurney, and then the broadcast team had been laying out at this point. They stopped talking to kind of let the whole, you know, the scene with Matt receiving treatment speak for itself. And then he was placed onto a stretcher and wheeled out of the building. And so, officially, I guess, it was a no contest. And again, no complaints about that. It was a satisfying match. The lack of a finish, I mean, hard. Jeff fans can go, well, he clearly beat his brother's ass. But Matt can come back and boast, whenever that is for Matt. If it's next week or somewhere down the road, Matt can come back and boast that he never said I quit. It worked. I thought this worked on a big time level. It was really good. And if you're not watching TNA, you're probably not listening this far in, but I keep saying it, you should be. I mean, all the negativity about the financials, Dixie Carter, all of that, hey, I get it, but you're missing a really good television show most weeks. This one, the main event clearly saved it. There, it was very talk-heavy. You know, we only had four matches. One of them was that goofy knockouts match for leadership. Not that the match was goofy as much as the whole leadership thing was. And then you had Mahabali, Sharer, and Al Snow. So it wasn't a great night of wrestling. And even the X Division match didn't last long. But, you know, the main event saved it. But I will say that I'm not someone who feels like I need nonstop wrestling on a wrestling show. I mean, granted, TNA stands for Total Nonstop Action, so you'd think they would strive to have a little bit more wrestling than they did on this one. But still, if the talking segments are well done, I'm okay with it. I still think they could have worked an extra match in somewhere in the first hour, you know, just somewhere, a better match, something, than what we got on this show. Maybe it may have been partially by design, because that's what they're going to do with Sacrifice, the Sacrifice-themed edition of Impact next week. I don't know. It's go very wrestling-heavy. This worked for me. You know, again, another match would have been nice, but the majority of the talking segments were well done, and so TNA, not a flawless product, but no wrestling product is. You know, this is TNA continues to do a nice job creatively. Certainly, I would say maybe the best stretch of creative we've seen from TNA in its run, because this year on Pop TV, I can count on one hand the number of shows that I've disliked, and in most cases it was just like, you know, a bit disappointing. Didn't really care for this one as much as the last one, but in this case, a good show, and we've seen a number of those good shows this year from TNA, including some that have been very good. And so we'll see what they do with Sacrifice next week. And of course, the TNA Impact tapings will begin on Thursday in Orlando. And it should be an interesting time, obviously, with all the discussion about TNA, you know, and the ownership situation, potential buyers, Dixie looking for investors, all this stuff going on. We'll see if there's any updates to the talent. That's always interesting. Could be a big week down there. Could be business as usual, but still big things happening behind the scenes in TNA. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you very much for listening. Hey, please remember to subscribe to this podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. You are helping spread the word about this podcast when you take the time to do that. And for that matter, a simple retweet when I put out the link to this podcast always helps. Thanks to everyone who has taken the time to do, well, even if you just subscribe, but if you were helping spread the word, an extra thank you as well. I really do appreciate that. The podcast is growing, and I certainly thank you very much for that. Tomorrow, I believe, Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett should be by with the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. I will be back either Friday or on Monday. I guess we're just still trying to figure out the schedule, but for members, I will be by on Thursday or Friday, one of the two, with the .NET Weekly Audio Show. Looking forward to that. But thank you again for listening. Take care.